The Lord be with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to her, he said, "Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at what was said and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have no relations with a man?" And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God." Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, yeah, this is going to be a three-point homily, okay? Try to count them, yeah. Try to organize, you know. I'm going to try to do not so many sub-points. Okay, one is this, okay, Immaculate Conception, yeah? This is the conception of Mary in the womb of her mother. So I know we just heard the gospel passage of Jesus's being conceived. This is not what the feast is about. Okay, the feast is Mary being conceived, preserved from all spot or taint of original sin, from her conception. Okay, this is what allows Gabriel to say, "Hail, full of grace." Right, "Hail, full of grace." Right, from the very beginning. Yeah, won't get into the Greek complexities of the thing. Okay, this is what it means. Okay. Point two. That was point one. I know. Point. Yeah. It's a lunchtime treat. Okay. I'm trying. Point two. I think I've forgotten it actually. So that's good. You might get a 2-point homily today. Point one is the Immaculate Conception and what we're celebrating. Point two, I'll just make one up. We'll say something like this. One of the prayers we're going to hear talks about prevenient grace, prevenire, okay? Prevenient grace is, okay, venire is to come, and this is pre to come. So it's happens before. It comes before. And the referent there is the saving work of Jesus. So Mary Mary also needs a savior. Yeah. Mary also is recipient of the divine action. It's not because of her personal merits that she's the mother of God. Now, God is preparing for himself a fitting dwelling place. It's quite fitting that he would do that. And in so doing, the action of his doing is applying the grace of Jesus' defeat of death in his death prior to its happening. You just have to go along with it, okay? This is the stuff of theology. Yeah. That's the second point. The third point is to not simply get caught up in the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, which is that Mary is preserved from all spot or stain of original sin from the time of her conception on. It's also for us to live into it ourselves. So one of the ancient authors says Mary is the white dawn. Yeah, and of course the dawn comes before the sunrise. But already you start to see you know, well, we start to see things by the light of day, right? Dawn is already giving us the opportunity to see. So this is the unfolding of the plan of God. The marvel of his planning and his purposes unfolding, right? Both, say, in Mary, that singular grace applied to her. But then also, let's not lose track of the story, right? The unfolding of it, the rising of the sun, and then our living according to the light of a new day. Just as, by the way, Mary did. Yeah, so the idea is, of course, that the sun has risen. Yeah, we've seen the advent of Jesus. He has come, he has suffered and died. He has risen from the dead. He has ascended to heaven and is now sending the Spirit to animate his body, the church, of which Mary is, say, the model par excellence. And we see that modeling here in the passage as well. Makes it very handy for us, right? Her yes, that so well advances the plan and purpose of God, is for us encouragement and inspiration to say yes to God ourselves, and to work and to allow him to work in us and work through us today for his purposes. And as we do, we make the words of Mary our own. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. Right? We're eager. We live out a joyful and eager enthusiasm for the word of God. We're eager for him to come to us. We're excited to go his way and advance his plan and purpose in all things by not only receiving his own life of love that's on offer for us here and now, but also by embodying that same life of love for a world that is in need of it.